The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a Tuesday, Gary, how are you?
Not good because I'm not ready.
You're not?
No, there's too many things going on.
I'm looking over some of the pictures of President Trump in the UK with the Queen. Liberal media kind of freaking out about a bunch of those.
Oh, man.
Yeah. The Washington Examiner pointing out they basically played it down at the Washington Examiner. You know, it's not, as gaffes go, it's not real huge, but when you do a toast with the Queen, you don't clink glasses, right? And when you greet her, you certainly don't touch, and he did. And I thought to myself, well, if Biden becomes president, we're going to have a lot of problems with a second one, because that's not going to be the problem. Yeah, I think he grabbed her by the, you know, he just kind of, you know, did a soft, almost handshake kind of thing. And she smiled really big.
Oh, she was
smiling.
Several times she smiled
really big. And I thought to myself, the media's got to be hating this. Got to be hating this, you know. Well, she's not about to put on a frown for the president. Remember we did the story, I think it goes back a year or two, I don't know how long, of how much alcohol she drinks during a day. I wasn't aware of this, but she has like a few drinks a day. And I thought, well, maybe that's her secret, you know, to living a long life. And I thought to myself, all right, she's in the palace doing tequila shots as he lands, and she's all smiles when he gets there. But I thought the media was going to lose their mind, you know, with the whole thing. I will say it does look a little stuffy, you know. It does when you're looking at that whole thing. I mean, the pomp and circumstance is something I've never understood. I mean, I do get it. I mean, we do it for weddings. We do it for, you know, family gatherings. But I don't know. It's just kind of, for me, it's just kind of overblown. It's like playing dress up.
Well, he used the word nasty again yesterday.
Uh-oh.
To describe the mayor of London.
Yeah. Oh, you... So he starts to address the British people, and he goes off on the mayor of London. And I thought to myself, this is going to be a good trip. 3 days of fun.
It was the mayor of London, by all accounts, has done a terrible job as mayor of London, has been foolishly, quote, nasty, end of quote, to the visiting president of the United States. By far the most important ally to the United Kingdom. So he did. I'm assuming nasty meant uncivil.
Yes. His behavior, which is true.
Well, we just make sure we do have the right definition,
right? Yeah,
because liberals get very upset of it. I'm reading this tweet here. On behalf of all Americans, I offer a toast to the eternal friendship of our people, the vitality of our nations, and to the long cherished and truly remarkable reign of Her Majesty the Queen. This evening, we thank God for the brave sons of the United Kingdom, the United States, who defeated the Nazis and the Nazi regime and liberated millions from tyranny. The bond between our nations was forever sealed in that great crusade.
Beautiful.
See, I'd sit there and say, we're no longer part of you.
You know what I would have done? I was thinking about it. I would have done a recreation of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Now, Your Majesty, if you will, because I know that you know, of course, you weren't there, and none of us were there, but I have arranged to have a recreation of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. So yeah, that would have been fun.
I wonder if the mad Englishman is listening to our show tonight.
Oh, you know what? Maybe he is.
Maybe he is. Probably.
Maybe he's angry, right?
Shut up.
Yeah.
No, we have great. No, we have great conversations.
We love the Brits.
I haven't golfed with. I did see the Mad Englishman about 2 months ago though.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah. He's I didn't golf with him, but he's doing.
Now he's here. He lives full time here. Right?
Yeah. He's now an American citizen.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You said that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for him.
He figured the new socialist welfare system was growing here and still had more time than in Great Britain, so he figured it was time to.
Exactly.
Take off the American taxpayer. Right. Oh, I wish he was here. I wish he was here when I just said that right now. I could just see him looking at me go, shut up.
The taxes are only slightly less than they are in the UK.
I said it yesterday, and I always have a lot of fun when I said, you know, look, the whole. I said this to you when I first came in, the whole thing about the clinking glasses. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares about that.
Nobody cares. And I've often talked about it and had fun with it, especially with my English friends. Mm-hmm. They know. I've said it all the time. I'm like, you guys in your royalty, you know, we don't care over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it yesterday. Yeah. I'd admit, look, I understand people's history, and cherishing their history and their culture. And all that, but there is a serious point. I mean, we are, you know, with the idolatry that you see sometimes from the royalty from the United States. I don't understand it because it is something. I mean, in our culture, we separated from that. We were the nation that really started that and said we reject royalty.
Right.
You don't. There is nobody that is special. When you're in government, you're not special. What you are is you're the servant of the people. That's what you are. And look, the Sex Pistols wouldn't have had a career if they didn't hold my same opinion there.
Well, you know, you think of the States, right? Speaking of rock and roll. How many of the Brits in rock and roll would be as famous as they are today without us? You know, I mean, the whole British invasion thing. So,
no, the British. Well, the Stones admit it.
Mm-hmm.
Where did their love of what was their biggest influence?
No, it was all here. It was the R&B.
Yeah.
You know,
all American R&B.
Right. Right. I mean, and that's I think. If you look at the, I guess the long-term relationship of the two nations, it's been a good, well, didn't start out well. we'll just say we got it over with early. Then we moved on.
Well, you know, when you, we have fun. Look, it's different cultures. But the beauty about the United States and people in Great Britain is the fact that we can tease each other constantly, and we have fun doing it. But when you know the history, when you just know and I think it's important that, and I'm so happy that the White House and the President brought up World War II,
right?
Because if you know of the history of what Great Britain went through, and you know about the Battle of Britain, and you know the way that their cities were just bombed over and over and over again, and how they were outgunned and out airplaned, and what the amazing things that the RAF did in order to keep Great Britain from falling. And you know, again, who knows what would have happened if Great Britain would have fallen?
You're right. That could have been one of those legs on the table, if you will. That if it had gone, the table wouldn't have stood the tyranny of a Hitler and who knows where we would be. One of the fascinating series, I haven't watched a lot of it, but the book and the series, Man in the High Castle. I mean, just imagine essentially an America or a Western civilization that is now under that kind of tyranny. Someone did, and of course, we'll never know. But the point being is that a lot of lives were lost as a result of that effort to maintain liberty. And it's not It's not something small. You know, this is, I'm not the greatest historian, but the importance of preserving history. We've gotten to the point in this country where if it makes someone cringe, it must be done away with. It must be learned from is the truth. It must always be learned from, regardless of what it is. It must be learned from. But the left has been trying to erase the history for a long, long time. And they're still at it. And the fact of the matter is that preserving that history gives you a greater appreciation as to what we have today and where we are today as a nation, as a global society. And if you don't have that, if you don't have that full appreciation, then it's likely because you haven't learned those lessons. It's likely because you just simply have ignored history.
You know, and one thing, since we're talking about Great Britain, I think it's really important to bring up the whole thing of Brexit. And I don't mean getting into the specific details about how to separate from the European Union, but I thought about this the other day when everybody was talking about Rocket Man and Elton John comes out and says he's European, not a colonial imperialist, you know, English person, whatever. I mean, the statements that are being made are just ridiculous. Here's the thing. If you don't understand what drove the people of Great Britain to vote for a exit from the European Union, then either you're completely ignorant or you don't believe in a representative government. That's how I look at it. And when I heard Elton John say that the other day, I'm just like, do you have a clue? I mean, do you have any type of clue whatsoever?
Right.
Because the being for, look, there may be the whole concept of, and this is what the left tries to do. They take nationalism and they try to equate nationalism with racism.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's a false thing to do, because nationalism is actually something that we should all strive for, which means what? It just doesn't mean pride in you. It doesn't mean pride or false patriotism towards your country.
Not for the sake of pride.
Right. Not
but pride for the very fundamental reasons.
And the fundamental reason is what? That I am represented, that I get a say through my elected representatives in Congress. That's what it comes down to.
Right.
The whole Brexit thing is you have a ton of people in Great Britain that say, I don't want to be told what to do by a bureaucrat.
Right.
Who isn't accountable to me.
Yep.
And so when you have people like Elton John and other celebrities come out, and a lot of the celebrities in Great Britain have, and try to make it that the Brexit movement is about nationalism and racism, and we should wish to be, you know, we should wish to be with a greater union and a European Union, then you just don't get it.
Right.
You don't get the fact that what English people are upset about. It's like, look, if we decided, look, the United States went through the process of 13 colonies, you know, which then became, you know, the 13 states to, what is it, 57, 58 states now?
Yeah, whatever it is.
Whatever it is now, yeah. and we kept adding on those states. But what happened when we added on those states? We didn't add on those states and then say, okay, those states, we're adding on those states. And those states, we've made an agreement where they can control what we do and we don't get a say in it. No, everybody came in to the union, and everybody still had their say through the representative government that we have set up.
Mm-hmm.
And though everybody's okay with that. Well, they were until, you know, the Democrats lost, and now they wish to have a socialist pure democracy where a few states will control the entire thing. But then they wouldn't want that if it worked against them. Mm-hmm. That's the entire
point. As you said yesterday, if we get to the popular vote and Trump wins with no problem at all on the popular vote next year, that whole doing away with the Electoral College is going to be over.
Well, and the one
until vote, the next time,
the one vote, one person means you would have if you get rid of the Electoral College, you would have, if you went to that point, you would then have 20 candidates and somebody would win the presidency with 13% of the vote,
right,
and
right.
not be representative of any part of the majority of the, or close to majority, or a high plurality of
right.
people in the country.
Exactly.
And that is what would cause a lot of damage, because then people don't believe that they're represented. And at that point is when people get angry. At that point is when you start talking about the concept of a civil war. Mm-hmm. When people think that the minority is controlling or has the ability to control, you know, the majority, or the majority can control a huge plurality, that's when you have problems, when people don't believe that they have representation. And that's what's going on in Brexit. It's a simple concept.
Mm-hmm.
It's got nothing to do with racism. It has
no.
to do with, I'm not represented anymore. The European Union, these bureaucrats, you know, they can make decisions, and I don't feel that I'm properly represented. I want representation closer to me.
Right.
So that my needs and my tax dollars that I paid is closer to home, that I can have a better voice, that I want better representation than a European Union can give me.
Right.
It's a very simple concept, and there's nothing evil about the people that wish to move away from the European Union because they don't believe that they are being properly represented.
Mm.
We got a great show ahead. 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Coming up on the show today, Clarence Thomas not retiring. There was a CNN story on that, which is great, and said, Clarence Thomas questioning where these rumors are coming from.
Right.
I'll tell you where they're coming from. Democrats need to rally the base.
Yeah, exactly.
For 2020. Yeah. That's where that's coming from.
Right.
We'll tell you about the two Democratic presidential candidates and their opinions on guns and the NRA and the fact that they seem to forget that the Internet has existed for a while. And so what they have said previously, which completely contradicts their opinion now,
mm-hmm.
is being brought up. We'll get to that. The Mueller report distortion, was really pretty big over the last 48 hours or so, because the Democrats are like, there it is. There's obstruction of justice. The Michael Flynn. Oh, here's a full transcript. Never mind.
Right.
Oh, why didn't Mueller put in the full transcript so we could understand the context of it? It seems like the Democrats are really big now on whether it's nasty or this when it comes to the,
It's so funny. Oh, my gosh. I mean,
when it comes to the context of things.
Right, right. Speaking of which, it was funny. I just thought a friend of mine said, I observed someone make the point, I can't believe that womanizer and cheater is sitting next to the queen. I thought, that's her son, Prince Charles. What are you talking about?
We'll tell you about the transgender NCAA champ who says he has no advantage running against females. Democrats booing Democrats. Buttigieg backs the NFL players protesting the national anthem. Good to see he's up to 2016.
Yeah. For Travel Centers of America, here's your forecast.
Couple areas today where we think we'll see the threat of severe weather most intense. From the Big Bend area of Texas along I-10 and I-20 to the north, and then in through Dallas under the threat of heavy rain and severe weather today. Then as you move a little bit northward on Kansas' eastern border into Missouri, up into Iowa, Illinois, and then back over to eastern Nebraska between I-80 and I-70, we'll see the most concentrated rainfall and potential for severe weather. So watch it if you're up and down northbound or southbound I-35 today. Between Kansas City and Des Moines, likely to see large hail and the potential for damaging winds, especially later in the afternoon. The I-95 corridor will remain largely dry today. We could see the late afternoon pop-up thunderstorm. Generally, the south, hot and humid, but dry. Atlanta should be just under 90 for the high. Your national weather forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout. We'll be right back.
If they're not off the rails, they're off on a tangent. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
Yeah, that's right. Don't you forget it.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. What are they trying to do? I mean, when I read this here from the Hill, Buttigieg backs NFL players to protest during the national anthem. I put my life on the line to defend that.
All right.
I'm thinking to myself, okay, so you've got up to 2016 now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you are? But I'm thinking, is the left going to try to regenerate that this year?
Well, what else do they have? Think about that. But they keep regurgitating all of the old items, and nothing is working. Again, we went a full day without much of the impeachment talk.
Little more though yesterday.
Yeah, there was some. More, you more. Had who was it that that was talking about it? I'll have to think about it. It wasn't Cory Booker? Somebody else? No. They were asked about it, and it was Buttigieg actually. You know, would you support impeachment? Yeah. All right. The idea, I guess, of creating the energy, whatever it's going to be, whatever candidate it's going to be, where does that come from? Something catches fire in a primary season, and I know it's still early, it's still June, but we're heading into the summer. And frankly, I think this primary season, actually, there's a case to be made that the energy should be there sooner for at least one or two of the candidates. Now, you can look at the poll numbers, but that's not energy. Those poll numbers are there. I'm talking about the real energy that you see at a Trump rally. The real energy behind a candidate. And the reason I say there's a case to be made that you should see it sooner this time around is because of the hatred for Trump. But it's still splintered. And what I don't know is, and certainly it will come together, I'm sure, in the summer of next year. But I just don't know where that euphoria is. Because if Biden is to be the guy, I don't see euphoria. I really don't. I don't see that kind of energy. It's going to be the parade wave and the gratuitous applause by any rally attendees. It's not going to be the same kind of energy you saw in 2008 with Obama. And I don't know how you capture the energy of the president right now. There's only one thing that can deplete his energy, I think. And that's if the economy, and I saw more stuff today, that they believe that the economy's not going to do well, that we could be heading into a recession. It came out that we're now... 10 years without hitting a recession, or longest period without growth, I think, or without depletion in real growth. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that this is it's a long period of expansion. We start contracting in our economy. I don't know what happens for the president next year. That remains to be seen. And that's dependent on, and everybody keeps pointing to, the tariffs. The question is still, even if that happens, even if the economy softens, where's the energy for a Biden?
Well, I think that as you see the Democrats go off the rails on everything, we really haven't talked much about this, but it's been in all over the internet, all over social media, and you can't discount things like this happening. That why is the energy still there for Trump?
Right,
because this is, I keep thinking about this. I keep going back to this over and over again, and I wonder how the Republicans should be packaging this. And it goes right back to the transgender NCAA champion now in the hurdles.
Mm-hmm.
You heard about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday he came out and said he has no advantage at all. No advantage.
Hmm.
and then and different different sports people started putting together the length of victory that he is having over women.
Right.
A full second.
Right.
I mean, just blowing them away.
Right.
And then how far he was behind if he was going after, if he was racing with men.
Right.
It wouldn't even be competitive with men.
Well,
it wouldn't even be competitive.
So you have two supposed victories here, right? In his winning, right?
Right.
And in, okay, transgender winning. And that becomes something totally different. It's a win for the identity.
Well, when you see that it is, again, something that is now being promoted by the lead candidate,
mm-hmm.
the concept that men can be women.
Right.
Once you get to that point, think about that. If we look at the insanity, if we see the way, and this is all the underlying stuff that I think was one of the major reasons that Trump won. The identity politics that are practiced by the left consistently. How we see, for example, and you and I have talked about this because of trans. Remember, Biden said the other day this is going to be his number one issue. The number one issue that Trump, or excuse me, that not Trump, that Biden is going to do when he gets in office. Mm-hmm. He said it the other day.
Right.
The most important thing is the Equality Act, which is doing what? Saying men can be women and women can be men. I don't care what Trump does. Well, this Trump guy, he's just, he's off the, are you kidding me? You sit there and you hold my 10,000 beers is what the Democrats are saying. Mm-hmm. Not just hold my beer. Because when you see that, and we have talked about this, that now the oppressor of gay rights in the United States, now the imagery of that is not even Trump.
No.
It's Martina Navratilova.
Yes.
Who has been, that's the new oppressor. And I do think that when you look overall at the identity politics that is being played, the victim versus the oppressor, you know, the division, that this is really the incredible thing, because they're saying the Trump divides. Are you kidding me? Democrats are booing Democrats. A Democrat can't even say, look, socialism's not going to work without getting booed. You can't say, now, look, an entire system of Medicare for all is not going to work. It's not practical. It's failed. You've had two Democratic candidates for president say that in California over the weekend, both getting booed. There's no discussion on it whatsoever. I believe that, and this is why, and you and I have talked about this on Trump and the tariffs and everything else, that the reason that we want the president to be much more consistent on that issue is because he's got to have a good economy, because we wish for him to win, because the other option is complete insanity on the left. Complete insanity. And now the complete insanity has gone all the way up to Biden, where Biden now says the number one thing for him to do is to ensure that in law, a man can be a woman.
Right.
I think the Babylon Bee had the headline today. Liberals and feminists to destroy patriarchy by ensuring that men dominate women in sports.
Right. Julia Beck was on the Baltimore Mayor's Council.
Yes.
She's the one that has testified on Capitol Hill. She's been in the media, very public. You know, she, in fact, she had said in one interview, if any man, any male person can call himself a woman or legally identify as female, then predatory men will do so to gain access to women's same-sex spaces, and this puts every woman and girl at risk. And remember why she was kicked off the mayor's council.
Yes.
Because she called out a man who said he identified as a woman, who was then transferred to a woman's prison and then committed rape. She called him out, a rapist. She called him out, and she called him a him, and she was kicked off the Baltimore Mayor's Council for LGBTQ.
For what? Committing an act of violence.
Violent speech.
And so when you see the, that still hasn't gone away.
No.
Which is why we've been so insistent on the president to be more coherent on economic policy.
Because there is
no other choice. Is Trump a different president? Yeah, that's why people voted for him. Duh. Mm-hmm. And that's why everything in Great Britain this week, all the stuff, that none of it matters.
No.
The media is obsessed by it, where the regular person's going, don't care, don't care, don't care, don't care, don't care, don't care. Who cares about America? Who cares about the people here? Who wants to represent me?
Right.
And people look at Trump and say, who's not crazy?
Right.
Well, Trump's crazy. Trump's not trying to say a man's a woman.
What's he trying to get done? He's trying to get the economy shored up. He's trying to secure the border.
Well, that's the thing. I may disagree with Trump, mm-hmm, on what he wants to do with, you know, tariffs or whatever.
Right.
On not with China, though, but with, mm-hmm, with other countries and things that he has done.
Right.
I think he handled the China thing wrong. But I understand he wants the economy to be better. He's not like Obama and the Democrats, as they did in that 1 week back in August of 2016, and say, we're going to kill the trucking jobs. We're going to kill the coal jobs. We're going to kill the oil jobs.
Mm-hmm. And how many times did the president, then President Obama, say, at some point you've made enough money?
Right. You want crazy? Trump is completely normal. As Chachi said, the only thing about Trump is he wants to screw with you.
Yeah, he's messing with you. But it is, and we can argue on the tariffs, because we really don't know what he believes, if he believes they actually work or not. But what is the idea behind them? What is he, A, trying to do?
Well,
he's trying to shore up the economy. And B, we don't know. We would have to ask him. But what's the idea of a tariff? In part, it's protectionism, right? Well, if you're protecting, that means you're protecting industries here at home. Now, again, we wholly disagree with that approach.
Well, yeah, but as we said, we like, for the most part, what's in the trade deals.
Yes.
So the conclusion we now, a lot of people that voted for Trump might not like what's in the trade deal, because
right, mm-hmm,
that's not what he was saying when he was running for office.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's a mixed bag. He's never been a politician. He can take different positions all the time. And so we look and we say, okay, what's the end conclusion? I know what the end conclusion for the Democrats is. The end conclusion for Trump, I agree 60 to 70% probably on the conclusion. With the Democrats, it's zero.
Right.
With most Republicans that are in office, it's probably about anywhere between 30% and 50% most of the time.
Right.
On what they do. Look, we took Ted Cruz to task the other day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
You know, so Ted Cruz is considered more conservative than Trump, but he can be just as Democrat sounding. What was he talking about the other?
It was on not being able to, after, if you served in Congress.
Oh yeah,
you
yeah.
cannot you cannot go into the private sector and serve. At that level, to petition for what your company wants done.
Right.
Which we first asked the question. Okay, does that mean he supported McCain-Feingold and believes we should bring that back? Because that's the idea behind it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. So, yeah, the transgender hurdler who easily wins the NCAA Women's National Championship. Mm. The guy who won says He has no advantage whatsoever.
Right. Okay. None.
None.
Yeah.
None whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
In an analysis of Toeffler's performance in three conference-winning races earlier this season, they reported that three times in the 60-meter, the 60-meter dash hurdles, and 200-meter dash did not measure up to the male finalists, but won women's races. Most of the gaps were not small for the races this short. Toeffler would have trailed the last-place male finishers, by more than half a second in the 60-meter dash, almost 1.7 seconds in the 200, but won the women's 60-meter hurdles by a half a second.
Wow.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
And good morning. Welcome. We are the Nasty Boys. 866-90-RED-EYE if you'd like to get in. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley.
This hour for Freightliner Run Smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Ah, yes. Another day. It looks like they're gonna, the Democrats want to do a vote. At least they're talking about doing a vote next week on... you know, holding Barr and McGahn in obstruction of justice. It's the only path that they can go down. I mean, I figured this was going to happen.
Go for Barr, yeah.
It's not going to do anything.
No, it doesn't do anything at all.
You're in contempt, so what?
Right.
And nothing happens. But you keep the narrative going. Right now, there's no narrative.
Right.
I saw Nadler yesterday. I think The Hill had this story that Nadler says that Mueller would testify privately.
Right. Yeah. Well, and then, you know, Nadler had said before, after he testifies privately, we'll release the transcript.
I don't think Mueller wants to testify at all now.
I really don't. Here's what I wonder. If that possibility was there before last Wednesday, but if Mueller realizes now, there is no way he can do it now. Because while the Republicans haven't been calling for it, there are plenty of Republicans that wouldn't mind having Robert Mueller sit before them and answer some questions. So I don't think it's going to happen.
You know, I wasn't going to play right now, but we just started talking about this, and so I thought it might be appropriate. I was listening to part of it during the break here, or during the top of the hour, and I just want to play it. It was an interview done with Sidney Powell. Sidney Powell wrote the book. Sidney Powell. She wrote the book "License to Lie" about the rot inside the Department of Justice. She's a former federal prosecutor working in the Department of Justice, both in Texas and I believe. I forgot what other state, but I know she was in Texas, but she was a federal attorney and worked for different attorney generals. And she just looks at everything that happened here. And it's interesting because we're not lawyers, but we understand the law. And we may not speak in lawyer speak, but we understand the law. And so, for example, when we start discussing things, as we do as lay people, and find out that there are many attorneys that agree with us on it, it's good. But the Constitution, this is the one thing, because we've gotten this before on when we have torn apart Supreme Court issues, and people will say, well, you're not an attorney, and that's a Supreme Court justice, as if only Supreme Court justices can understand the Constitution.
Right.
That the average person was not supposed to understand the Constitution. And that's wrong. The Founding Fathers wrote the Constitution so the average person could understand it. And every single issue, every American should be able to understand, except maybe some of the most complex monopoly issues, which I don't even think the justices understand at times. You know, when you get into the monopoly stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, because it's like, come on, it's just your opinion. I mean, what really, you know, and now they're going to go through it. I'm sure they're going to go through it. That was the top story on Drudge Report there, and we'll get that here in a little bit. Okay, now we're going to look at all of the, by the way, they're all run by liberals, are they not?
They are.
All the major tech companies.
Yep.
The House Judiciary Committee is now going to look into it, which of course they're going to do because that's, you know, it's, they're all big corporations, so they must be evil in some way. And they're trying to, through 2020, you know, whether it's Barr and McGahn next week and whether how long they'll keep talking about impeachment, they need to start doing something to get their base, you know, rallied, because as we talked about last hour, they're not. You look at these rallies out there, people aren't going crazy. They'll cheer, whatever.
Right.
The excitement does not exist on any Democratic campaign as it does right now when Trump is giving his campaign rallies. But I want to play this here. I want to play a couple of minutes here. This was an interview done in the Epoch Times with a former federal prosecutor and attorney, Sidney Powell, who wrote the book License to Lie, and it's about the Justice Department and the problems inside of the Justice Department. And here's part of the interview she has done. And this was done the day after Mueller. This was done last week. This is the day after the Mueller statement. Here we go.
Recently, Special Counsel Mueller tendered his resignation, did a press conference. A lot of people have a lot to say about that. I'm sure you do. What are your thoughts?
I was extremely disappointed in Mr. Mueller's press conference. And yes, I published the book hoping to put an end to the corruption in the Department of Justice so people could see what was going on. And instead, it's simply gotten worse, as evidenced by Mr. Mueller's press conference yesterday, in which he literally stands the rule of law and the presumption of innocence on their head. I mean, just completely turns the presumption of innocence upside down and puts the burden on the president to prove that he's innocent instead of accepting the burden on the government to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt or even probable cause to indict, which they clearly didn't have. In fact, all you have to do is go to Volume 2, page 9 of Mr. Mueller's report. I think it's the second paragraph that starts talking about statutes in an ordinary case, potentially relevant obstruction of justice statutes in an ordinary case, to know that means they have absolutely nothing with which they could charge the President of the United States, even were he not the President of the United States. You don't conduct a two-year investigation and then come out with 248 pages of smear tactics, which is exactly what Volume 2 of the report was, and then talk about potentially relevant statutes. You either have a clear violation of a federal statute or you don't, and that's really all that should have been said there. We don't have a violation of any federal obstruction statute.
So, Sidney, for the benefit of our audience, how is the presumption of innocence exactly turned on its head here?
Well, our whole system depends on presuming that someone charged with a crime is innocent until proven guilty. That's the general concept of the presumption of innocence. And then Mueller goes instead and says, do you have the exact quote?
I do have a quote that disturbed me.
Yes.
And the quote is, if we had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said that.
And that's not their job. That he's saying there that we had to be satisfied clearly that the president did not commit a crime for us to say that. That is not the presumption of innocence. The responsibility is on the government to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that someone is guilty of a crime. And really, before you indict somebody, at least as a federal prosecutor for 10 years and under nine different U.S. attorneys in three districts across the country, I was taught, and I taught others, that if you don't have a solid case, don't turn somebody's life upside down and literally ruin their lives and that of their families just because you want to try to notch your belt with somebody's scalp or, you know, get your name in the newspaper or whatever, unless they really committed a crime and you're sure they did it and it's the right person, don't bring charges against somebody. So most good prosecutors I know would apply the beyond a reasonable doubt standard at the early stage, excuse me, before deciding whether to bring charges. I mean, I wanted to be sure I had the right person. I wanted to be sure it was a real crime. I didn't piece together parts of different statutes to make a crime out of something that wasn't, or try to stretch the law like Mr. Weissman is famous for to reach conduct that's not even criminal.
Right.
And there's a lot of that in the Mueller report, too, and even in Mr. Mueller's comments talking about how they could even bring any kind of obstruction or things they looked at as obstruction of justice against this president. It was absurd. Here you have Hillary Clinton literally destroying evidence, bleach bidding her computer, and setting fire to the server at her house or something. And that is obstruction of justice. That is destruction of evidence. But somebody saying stand strong is not obstruction of justice. Yet that was one of the things listed in their Mueller report as a potentially obstructive act.
There you go. And I wanted to play just a little bit of Sidney Powell there because it's what we said last week. Anybody who has just a basic knowledge of law understood after Mueller's report last week that he was a political hack, that he was not acting as a federal prosecutor, but as a political act. And the Mueller report was a political report, not a law enforcement and not a legal document. It was about we disagree with this guy's politics, and so we're going to attempt to call something obstruction of justice, you know, or tell you that it leads to obstruction of justice. We're not going to make the official decision on, but we're going to taint that the potential is there when it isn't there. And that's why we said anybody, and that's why you really didn't have a lot of legal analysis on this from the left, because they couldn't do it.
Well, and she points out again something we've talked about, and that is why you do not approach it if you don't have all of the facts leading up, essentially, as she said, building the case beyond a reasonable doubt. If you don't use that standard, imagine what could happen. Well, actually, you don't have to.
We've seen it. It has happened.
And we've pointed out how if they'll do this with a high-profile individual, keep in mind, and all due respect to the mayor, Pete Buttigieg was not a household name for 40 years before he decided to run.
Right.
Donald Trump was. He was a high-profile individual before he ever announced officially. So imagine taking on, and we've talked even about how his personal security probably rivals the Secret Service and in how it's set up, certainly. I won't say with the experience or anything else because I don't know that to be the fact. But certainly, here's a guy who led a life and conducted himself much like a politician in the private sector. He was, if they'll go after that kind of huge target, who won't they go after in order to smear a name, if nothing else, if they don't like what you stand for? Because keep in mind, what is this all about? They'll tell you it's about saving a nation. They'll tell you it's about justice. The fact of the matter is, it's about the hatred for a guy. They just don't want him to be president. And after it happened, they tried to prevent it from happening. And after it did happen, they've been trying every day since to undo it.
Well, what it's about is it was never about President Trump.
No.
If you're looking for the truth, what the truth is that President Trump never attempted to collude with the Russians to change the outcome of the election. The Democrats did. You know, she brings up, and it's a great point, with the bleach bidding and the destroying of the cell phones. That's what obstruction of justice actually is. And she, I think that a lot of prosecutors probably look at that and they say, here's Hillary Clinton, who clearly broke the law. And we all know it because nobody disputes her behavior. We know what the allegation was, and nobody disputes the allegation.
Right.
The allegation was she put a server in her home in order to avoid the Freedom of Information Act. And in doing so, allowed top secret material, was hacked, as we know, by foreign entities because she did that. And that in itself is in violation of the Espionage Act of the United States. What she did was clearly illegal. Then the bleach bidding, then the you want a clear case of obstruction of justice with that the FBI said, well, no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute it. That's why it made it so absurd that you could dictate, you could actually point out what the crime was. Nobody debated what the crime was. Nobody debated that what she did didn't relate to the espionage, that portion of the Espionage Act of what she did. Nobody debated that she put the server in her own home because then you could avoid the Freedom of Information Act, which is another crime to do that as a politician, to set up something outside of the system so you can avoid the Freedom of Information Act, which means the public has a right to know what the government officials do. Nobody debates the fact that the bleach bidding was done. Nobody debates the fact that the cell phones were destroyed. Nobody debates any of those issues. If you want obstruction of justice, that's where it is. As she says, Trump says something, and they go, oh, he said something, that's obstruction of justice. That's why we said the Mueller report, for anybody who has been in federal law enforcement, or in just in, excuse me, federal law enforcement, whether they're, you know, an attorney general, prosecutor, whatever, even the local prosecutors could look at all of this and look at what Mueller said and went, wow, what a political hit job this is. Mueller did no service to this country at all. We said this right after the Mueller report came out because they didn't follow. He didn't follow to where the Russians actually colluded with Americans, which was what? The dossier. And it was the collusion was done by members of the Trump administration, or excuse me, the Obama administration, not the Trump administration, the Obama administration. He just refused to go down that path. When he did not go down that path, as we said, as soon as we saw it, we went, okay, he is a political hack. Took Dershowitz a little bit longer to get to that point until the speech last week, but it was obvious that he is.
I do wonder, you know, based on all this, because in her latest book, License to Lie, you know, she points out, Sidney Powell points out all of these prosecutors who rose to power breaking all the rules. There's fraud, there's deception in every level of practice, whether it's private or public. But when it gets to this point, it's people of power. My question is, what does Barr have going back to this whole thing? Because if you go back to October 2016, that month is going to be key. That's going to lead you back eventually to 2011 and the abuse of citizens' rights by members of the Justice Department under Obama.
And I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's what Sidney Powell is leading to in her book.
Right.
That all this is related.
Right.
It goes back further than just the president.
So what all, you talk about tip of the iceberg. Wow.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on inspections. Results are revealed. Now what? After the inspection is complete, do you know what happens next? The answer depends on the results of the inspection. The inspector will hand you a report and explain any violations. You're required to turn it in when you return to the next company facility. If you won't be able to visit one within 24 hours, you should fax or mail it. But what happens if you or your vehicle is ruled out of service? If a violation is deemed so unsafe that it must be corrected before you can continue, be sure to know what your company's process is to deal with the situation. Know who must be notified and how repairs will be handled. If you pass a comprehensive inspection, congratulations. You'll receive a CVSA decal and you're on your way. But you should also be prepared just in case things don't go as planned. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us on jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Curley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
I have a little more audio coming up following the bottom of the hour from Sidney Powell, the author and former federal prosecutor on the entire Mueller report. And it's really important because, you know, I think that you're hearing in the media now, well, okay, we're sick of all this now. It's gone on. It's really over. This isn't over. It's just started. Right. And we're talking about potentially the biggest political scandal in American history, where you had members of law enforcement attempting to delegitimize a legitimate 2016 presidential election.
Right.
And that's huge. And so we'll hear a little bit more from her coming up. Plus your calls and comments on the way to 866-90-RED-EYE.
That never stops. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Carly. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner. Run smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. If you miss a show or part of a show, you can actually go back and you can listen later in the day as we do podcast this show every single day. We're around the clock, 24-7, so you can listen when you need us. And by the way, thank you to all the podcasters. Had a friend tell me I'm waiting anxiously the other day, waiting anxiously for the podcast to come up. We greatly respect that. We know that people have different schedules, and we know that you're not willing to give up sleep for our program. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for that.
Should we wonder about, you know, because people always tell me I don't have a life. If somebody's waiting to listen to our podcast.
You've got more of a life than I do. You're taking all these rock and roll trips.
That's well, I'm telling you, I'm not. You know, it's been 5 out of the last 7 weeks I was out of town. I'm not doing that again.
You're the jet setter here, man.
I got sick.
I said you.
I didn't get any sleep.
Yeah.
I got sick.
Yeah. You were kind of.
Well, when you live the
Rock and roll lifestyle,
well, the rock and roll jet set lifestyle.
Yeah, staying up late. Staying up late. But it's, you know, I love the fact that, that we have a great audience and they've been so loyal to us over the years. And so, and feel free to spread the word. You can, you know, share it on social media if you like.
We
tell people how to podcast and listen and we greatly appreciate that. We love discussing the ideas and we think, that, it's a great way to break down those ideas and also take a look at what's going on in today's world. RedEyeRadioShow.com. We're on iTunes. We're on. Did you see they're doing away with iTunes?
Yeah.
Apple's doing away with iTunes. So they're going to have Apple TV, Apple Music, and Apple Podcast. So they're. But the iTunes thing is kind of going to go away. So we'll be on the Apple Pie Podcast.
Right.
But the. I think I just said Apple Pie Podcast. Man, I'm so hungry right now. No, we're on the major players. Google, you know, until the government gets the Google Podcast, we're there.
Until the government shuts them all down, we're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
That the government is going to eventually shut
well,
down.
Well, here's the thing. We're so big, the government's looking at breaking us up.
Yes.
This is, you know, the regulations headed our way, no doubt.
Well, then I do have a complaint.
What's that?
We're not making enough money.
Mm.
If the government's going to break up Red Eye
Radio.
We're not making enough money to break up.
You're right.
That's how we win in court.
How do we can have the government, the taxpayer pay us to break up. I don't know how that works. But check it out at RedEyeRadioShow.com. The Extra Mile podcast, we're talking to industry representatives, the trucking industry. Right now, just saw in Fortune yesterday how the driver shortage, what's going on with the driver shortage. They're trying to find essentially what the driver shortage is. A lot of drivers will tell you there's really no driver shortage right now, but it's the future, essentially trying to get younger people into the trucking
profession. 70% plus of our goods move on trucks in terms of major freight. There's a lot of issues going on right now. This week, CVSA Road Check and so much more. We've discussed all of this and more. Hours of service, ELDs, you name it. It's the Extra Mile podcast. That can be found, too. More info at redeyeradioshow.com.
Yeah, but remember, in 2016, Bernie had the solution.
He wanted to shut down. He wanted to go to rail.
He had the solution for the what is perceived in the future as a growing truck driver shortage.
Yeah, right.
He would just get rid of the trucking industry and ship more things by rail.
Yeah, exactly.
And have the federal government control the rail.
Exactly. Yeah.
So there are solutions.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Government control of trucking. Oh, wait, it's already happening. Never mind. There's so many issues. Definitely so many issues out there that we covered on the Extra Mile. But we thank you, drivers, mm-hmm. too, for being such a big part of our listenership going back 50 years, 1969, when my friend Bill Mack, who, by the way, celebrates a birthday. Hold on a second. Today's June 4th.
Yep.
Tuesday, June 4th.
Yep.
Today is Bill Mack's birthday. Birthday.
And the original incarnation of the show Bill Mack back in 1969.
Right. Grammy, for those that don't know, Grammy Award-winning songwriter. He's written a number of songs, but Blue for Leanne Rhyme won mm-hmm. him a Grammy, won her a Grammy for her performance of it. And he's having so much fun today. Just communicated with him not long ago. He's having a lot of time, but... A lot of great times out there, and we wish him a happy birthday. Happy birthday,
happy birthday Bill.
Bill Mack. Wow. Happy birthday, buddy.
A very talented individual.
He really is. And as sweet as the day is long, my first night with him as his co-host, he went down the hall to make me coffee because I was running controls, the network controls. He goes, son, let me go down and make you some coffee. I'll help you out. He's trying to help me out.
I've never done that.
Yeah, I know. You know what? That's a good point.
I've never done that.
We're going on 14 years, and you've never done that. Not once. He did it the first night. Uh-huh. How many Grammys you have? How many hit songs on the radio have you written? But happy birthday, Bill. Love you.
I don't know. I could have come up with Lollipop.
Lollipop, lollipop,
lollipop, lollipop, lollipop, lollipop.
It's like the map song for Dora the Explorer. If you have kids, you know exactly what song I'm talking about. Yeah. RedEyeRadioShow.com. Click on demand or type in the keyword podcast.
If you are waiting for our podcast, you do have a life. You have the best life.
Yes, you do. That means you're busy. Yeah. And you also want to be productive by taking in a really, really great talk show.
Where we're extremely humble.
Yes, we are.
All right, I want to play more of this audio from the former federal attorney, worked for the Justice Department, Sidney Powell, who wrote the book on the rot inside of the Justice Department that she said has been going on for a while, called License to Lie. She was asked, this interview was done last week, and we're just playing it because it brings up some really great points about why we should be so concerned about the Mueller report and the fact that, you know, when you get into the people that cherish the law, why they look at what happened there and they think it's a travesty of justice, what Mueller actually did. And here is Sidney Powell. She was asked a question about whether everything should be unredacted in the report and that everybody should be able to see 100% of it instead of 98%.
Well, Congress has 98.5% of the report unredacted, which is the most transparent anybody has ever been with a report like this. All the Attorney General had to say was the conclusions of it. So we have not only the most transparent president in history who produced 1.4 million documents and waived executive privilege and waived attorney-client privilege so that everything and everybody could testify for how many hours Mr. Mueller and his team wanted it, you know, hundreds of hours of testimony. And then Attorney General Barr, literally all he had to say was there's no validity to any, no charges are being brought. That's all he owed to the American people or Congress. Instead, he produced the whole report in the interest of transparency, except the grand jury material that he's legally required to protect or anything that might be classified for some reason. So I think there's been ample transparency there. I can't imagine that there's anything in that little bit of material. It certainly wouldn't change the conclusions. And Mr. Mueller didn't seek to change the conclusions.
Right.
Mr. Mueller and Mr. Barr agree on the conclusions of the report.
Right.
Frankly, when Mr. Mueller did not recommend pressing charges, which he could have recommended, I mean, even under his view of the OLC decision as not allowing them to indict, mm-hmm. that didn't mean he couldn't have said, we recommend indicting. If he were not sitting president, we would indict him. The report doesn't say that. Instead, it talks about the potentially relevant obstruction statutes in an ordinary case. This is not an ordinary case. This is the president of the United States who had every right to fire the person he fired. The investigation went on uninterrupted. He disclosed millions of pages of documents, and countless witnesses testified. How anybody could read obstruction of justice into any of that is beyond my comprehension, and there isn't a single obstruction statute that does apply, even under Mr. Weissman's broad reading of the law or willingness to piece together parts of different statutes to make a new crime out of something that wasn't.
And we had said that when he, you know, when he made the decision and, you know, and said that the OLC would not allow him to come to a conclusion, we said, that's bull.
Yeah.
And we've accused him of lying on that one.
You know, what's interesting is I was thinking back to last fall, I want to say it was around October, Chris Saliza, former Washington Post, now at CNN, he wrote an article at CNN.com, and basically it was his prediction would be that was then that we would only see a report from Mueller, we would not see any more indictments. He was correct in that prediction. A couple of weeks before that, you and I just threw around the idea because we weren't seeing a lot of, you know, filings and other things going on. There seemed to be no momentum, you know, leading up to big indictments related to the election and the Trump campaign, right? Just based on what we were watching. And so we had discussed this idea of Mueller just coming out saying, well, we didn't find anything, but, and the whole wagging of the finger of a report. Well, that idea was maybe true in its base, but is much more tame in nature than what actually happened. Because not only did the report come out and essentially, again, as it's been pointed out by many legal experts, the report itself was just incomplete work. That's the only way, as a layman, that I can describe it. It's incomplete work. But then the statement last Wednesday, even further. It's like he wagged the finger and didn't get someone's attention, and so he came out to wag the finger again and then said, oh, and by the way, I'm not answering any questions. For you, the media, or for legislators, I'm gone. Because that effect is damaging because he pretends that he can't be held accountable. And maybe he can't. He pretends that it doesn't do any damage to do something like this. And he walks away and it's, well, we can't indict a sitting president. You can find the facts on a case. And either right. You find them and you make the case and you define the criminal behavior by said persons or you don't. But the wagging of the finger and then coming out because no one listened to you and it didn't go anywhere, didn't have the effect you wanted, probably, and then coming out and wagging it again in that same direction, even louder, trying to get the attention of lawmakers who clearly weren't going to move based on that, is reprehensible.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Curley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 Red Eye. Let's go to Ron in Huntington Beach, California. Ron, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Very good. Thanks for calling.
Okay. The problem is that you guys and really everybody, including Bob Mueller, you're conflating two groups of people. One group includes one person, that is the sitting president, and the other group is everybody else. And the thing is that the Department of Justice, Office of Legal Counsel, the OLC opinion about you can't indict a sitting president, that concept means that you can't indict. No matter, you know, if the evidence rises to a level that you would indict a normal person, you can't do it to the president. So that's what Bob Mueller was indicating when he mentioned the OLC opinion when he talked the other day.
Okay, you must not listen to the show or listen to the last guest. That's garbage. He can still point out the crimes that the president has committed and say that we believe that the president has committed crimes. You can do that without indicting. You're not indicting. And we gave the example.
No, we gave the example
as if the president committed murder. If there was a murder, if there was a... Go ahead. Continue.
Now, please, let me get my entire point in. But the reason I say you're conflating the two groups is that let's ignore the sitting president for a second. Everybody else, when a prosecutor looks at a case and the evidence does not rise to the level that they believe they could indict this person, their code of conduct is that they're supposed to shut the hell up, basically. They don't indict, but they also don't disparage them in public because, essentially, they're considered...
Okay, you've changed the topic, though. You didn't address the topic. You changed the topic, so we're going to let you go with that one.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90 Red Eye. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. About the last caller, really not sure where he was going. He was trying to make a point that Mueller could not make a that Mueller was hamstringed by the OLC law, you know, rule.
Mm.
We disagreed with him on that, and his response was not to answer the question and move on to something else, and saying that the prosecutor should have shut up. That we agree.
Right.
So we have no idea where the last caller was.
Well, actually, it isn't. In that case, if he had nothing in this case, as the Wall Street Journal editorial board wrote, you either have something and you demonstrate what you have, and your work product will demonstrate what you have, or you shut up. Yes, we agree on that part of it. But on the other, it's not about the indictment. Again, it goes back to what the report would show, demonstrate that a crime was committed. And I would say this, and I don't know again where the caller was going, but unlike a regular case, this is a very unique case. When there is a special prosecutor assigned, they are required to issue their report to the attorney general. It is actually the attorney general's report. It's not the special prosecutor's report. It's referred to as such in the media so that you pretty much know what we're talking about. But it belongs to the attorney general, in this case, Barr. So he is obligated, Mueller is obligated to issue that report. And which would mean this is what we did, and no evidence of crimes were found. But he didn't do that. He went beyond. We were not going to fully exonerate. Well, that's not the point. The point is you either found evidence of crimes that were committed or you did not. Period. And if you did, you would clearly demonstrate them to the Attorney General. The Attorney General then takes it, and whatever obligation they have is to Congress. Congress could take it. You could move toward impeachment, as you spelled out, I don't know, numerous times on the program, Gary, where you move on to impeachment, then removal from office. After removal from office, then you indict. And you used the over-the-top example of murder.
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue movie, if you've ever seen that with Wesley Snipes, where there's a murder in the White House.
Right.
And, the president wasn't guilty, but we use that example that if they said, okay, we need to have a special counsel here to look at this, even if other law enforcement, if Wesley Snipes was working on it from Washington Homicide. And, again, I don't know who has jurisdiction in that case. I'm not going to, and neither did they in the movie at times.
Right.
Even though Wesley Snipes said, I do, because it's a murder investigation. That's not the point. We're trying to make an absurd example. We're trying to make an example that would be absurd, a murder in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to make it as a crime that's being committed that everybody understands.
Right.
That there's a crime, somebody who's murdered in the White House, and the president. They find that the president is a person of interest and a suspect.
Mm-hmm.
But then a special counsel comes in, special counsel to look over everything. And the special counsel comes back and says, well, we believe that the president has committed a crime because the evidence shows that his fingerprints and DNA are on the person who was killed.
Right. Weapons found in the possession.
Exactly. Whatever. Evidence. What? Do they come out and just say, here's the evidence, or we're not going to? No, they would come out and they would tell you that we believe the president, has committed this particular crime. At that point, they haven't indicted. Nobody's indicted. What happens is the process is followed. Congress would then see that. Congress would then impeach, remove from office, and then law enforcement would indict the former president.
Right.
That's how it works. And everybody knows that's how it works. That's why when Mueller said all that stuff, nobody was paying attention at all. But I think, and we should go on to this next point here, which we didn't discuss yesterday because there were so many different things, but the whole John Dowd transcript, the president's lawyer, when General Flynn and the president's lawyers were separating because, Flynn had his own problems at that time, so they were separating their attorneys at that point, and John Dowd left a message with one of General Flynn's counsels, and in the Mueller report, and this thing all came out, and the left was jumping on this, I believe, early on over the weekend. This is where it is. This is the obstruction of justice. This is it right here. And Mueller did not include the entire conversation. He took out extremely important words. For example, he says, here's the way Mueller wrote it. I understand your situation, but let me see if I can't state it in starker terms. It wouldn't surprise me if you've gone on to make a deal with the government because they weren't sure at that point.
Right.
If there's information that implicates the president, we've got a national security issue. So, we need some kind of heads up for the sake of protecting all our interest if we can. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what we've always said about the president and his feelings toward Flynn, and that still remains. That's what the conversation was that Mueller had it. That wasn't the full conversation. It was, Rob, this is John again. Maybe I'm sympathetic. I understand your situation, but let me see if I can't state in starker terms if you have, and it wouldn't surprise me if you've gone on to make a deal with and to work with the government. I understand that you can't join the joint defense, so that's one thing. If, on the other hand, there's information that implicates the president, then we've got a national security issue, or maybe a national security issue, I don't know, some issue we got to deal with, not only for the president, but for the country. And we need some kinds of heads up, just for the sake of protecting all of our interests if we can, without having given up any confidential information. So if it's the former, then remember what we've always said about the president's feelings towards Flynn. Well, the first one, I still don't know how they got obstruction onto the first one. Mm. But he left out a couple of things. He said, we need this to know for the country, and you don't have to give up any confidential information at all if you wish to share it with us. That's not what we're asking for. Clearly not obstruction.
Right.
But took it out of context in the Mueller report, and that's why Devin Nunes came out and said, we need all the backing documents here. We need everything. And it's funny because now this is going to be interesting because the first you had the Democrats calling for full transparency and release of the entire report. Mm-hmm. Now it's the Republicans calling for transparency of what the documents are that backed up the report. Let's see, because in every case of Russian collusion, the Democrats initially come out for transparency and then they back off and say, no, we don't want transparency anymore. Well, the same thing happened with the Mueller report. I want to play this audio here because this is Alan Dershowitz on Fox News with Hannity last night talking about, you know, how serious of an issue this is. John Dowd says, look, this shows a report. Of course, he's going to say this as a president's former attorney, but I agree with him. But he says, you have to know his bias. But I agree with him. And he said, look, this makes the Mueller report a complete fraud because it shows that they were trying to implicate possible obstruction of justice by not including the entire context of an actual conversation. And if they did it there, where else did they do this? Here is Alan Dershowitz talking about it last night.
This is a very, very serious issue. The distortion of the Dowd quote is very serious, especially since, remember, that a report by a special counsel is always going to be one-sided. Therefore, you have to trust it because the other side doesn't have a chance to look at it and show what's wrong with it the way it would in an adversarial situation. If a lawyer made a representation like that to a court and said, this is the quote, and left out the crucial context, which showed, as John said, that what he discussed was not only absolutely proper, but obligatory for a counsel when you have a joint defense agreement to find out exactly what's likely to be used against your client. This is a very serious matter. We have to find that first. Nothing inappropriate. We have to find out first who wrote that paragraph. Who wrote that paragraph?
I have a guess.
So there you go.
Yep. Well, and do you have to look any further if you needed any more proof of political motivation here on the part of the special prosecutor?
No, and this is why, as we continue with this, will it be the same? We saw it from the Democrats who screamed transparency, and when the Republicans said, okay, let's give us more transparency. No, we can't have it because you might be releasing sources and methods. Hmm. And then we found out that how many times did Adam Schiff lie about that?
Right. Right.
And it didn't. And they're going to continue to scream and yell for that anything else that releases that brings out the truth, it will affect the security of this country. And so don't be surprised now if Republicans start calling, as Devin Nunes did yesterday, calling for all the backing material.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. Now Republicans are calling for all the backing material for the memo.
Right. Well, wait a minute. It was a couple of weeks ago that the Democrats were doing the same. Because we said at that time, I don't remember if it was Nadler or somebody else calling for it. We said essentially what they want to do is they want to do over on the Mueller report. They want to see everything that the investigation, everything that led up to the report, everything they used to compile the report, all the evidence. And I got to go back and see who that was. I don't know. Again, could have been Adam Schiff or Nadler. I'm not sure. But they essentially were saying we'd like a do over.
Well, now, will they still hold that opinion?
Right.
If this comes out clearly misrepresenting the conversation, and can they find more? Because remember, what happened on earlier this past weekend?
Right.
The Democrats all jumped on this.
Sure.
See, there's obstruction. There it is, right there. We've got it. We've got the obstruction of justice. I didn't see obstruction of justice even in what the lawyer. I said, well, it's his president's lawyer. He's going to try to bid for him. But give us a heads up does not mean we're telling you to shut up. So I didn't know where the obstruction was, but they were screaming it. But in the other context was clearly the fact that this was all appropriate for the lawyer to be doing and there was nothing in it whatsoever. So why did? Why did whoever wrote that part of the report, why did they say this is the quote and it wasn't the quote? What would happen in a court of law if you did that? As
well, because
Gershwin said,
that's a deliberate choice.
Right.
You're not saying that we didn't receive, let's say, the tape, the recording of the second half of the conversation, so therefore we didn't put it in there and it was a mistake.
Yeah, that's not the case.
They didn't overlook this. It was a deliberate choice to leave it out.
And that's why I wonder whether the Democrats that have been screaming for more transparency will now start backing off here when it comes to the actual Mueller report. No, we've heard enough. And
well, the only thing we've ever asked for is transparency.
We have, yes.
Regardless of where it goes.
Yep. 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Curley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Kevin in Dallas. Kevin, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, Kevin.
Hey. So before I get to my main comment, I just wanted to say that I thought that was real funny, the way that guy was trying to Perry Mason you guys with the MSNBC Word of the Week. You guys are conflating.
That's so funny, Kevin, because I actually said that during the break to Gary.
Yeah, he said. He goes, what's the conflating thing
yeah,
mean?
It's, seriously.
It's like,
yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, well, I mean, they go through these love affairs with certain words. Have you ever noticed? Like, yeah. A few years ago, they were all into nuance. Everything's a nuance.
That's why I said
I've never seen a.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No.
I
was just saying that I'd never seen a liberal yet who understood the finer points of any issue. They just kind of just make these very crude arguments all the time where it's like they don't care what the specifics are.
Right.
So, you know. It's just kind of funny. I think it's funny. Anyway.
Well, and then when I questioned him and then he changed. Well, no, if you let me finish. And then when he finishes, he avoided the topic. He moved on to a different topic where he actually agreed with us. So it was like, I have no idea where we're going.
Right. Yeah.
So
leftists argue in argument fragments as opposed to arguments.
I like that.
Yes.
I'm going to remember Kevin from Stop Arguing.
Fragments.
In fragments.
Yes. Yeah.
Fragment argument.
Well, because they can only get bits and pieces based on the words, you know. I mean, one of the other words I heard the other day, Kevin, and they're on this again, conspiracy theory about this whole side of it, of you know, the court documents, by the way. They were saying it as late as Monday. They kept saying, well, the conspiracy, you guys, this is just a conspiracy. And those that were posting the stories were saying, wait a minute, there are court documents here. And so this is something where you're right. They put it together in bits and pieces. But go ahead. You wanted to make a point, Kevin, on Mueller.
Well, yeah, the thing is that I think this guy's in a real jackpot now. I think that before there was some sort of like a separation between him and the other conspirators in this whole mess, the Brennans, the Clappers, the McCabes, the Comeys, all of those other, the whole rogues gallery of ghoulish people.
Right.
But now that he's, you know, basically come out of the closet as a partisan hack, he could have just made his arguments in his report and then just basically rode off into the sunset. But he had the temerity, the audacity to make a public statement. And then he tried to drop the mic on everybody. I've had enough. Let me just leave me alone from now on.
Right.
Hey, guy, you know, you don't get to just come out here and make a statement like that and put this cloud of innuendo over the president again.
Right. Yeah.
And then just think you're going to walk away and not have to answer questions about how this corrupt, biased, partisan investigation started.
Right.
And if he's trying to avoid getting questioned by answering 1,500 questions from House Republicans by whatever, I don't know what he was thinking. Well, he's done a real good job.
Mm. Yeah.
Because now he's going to have to answer questions on a vast, a whole range of issues.
Sure.
Yeah,
no doubt.
I know Gerald Nadler said he had that Mueller wants to testify privately. He said that was on the Hill, I think, yesterday, the day
mm-hmm.
before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
I don't see that.
I think that.
You know, Nadler said that before.
Hope.
You know, before last Wednesday,
right?
And after last Wednesday, I really don't see that being the case. But if he wants to, please do. And if they're going to release the transcript, let's hear what the questions from the Republicans were.
Fragment debating.
Love it.
Great.
Here is your forecast.
Couple areas today where we think we'll see the threat of severe weather most intense. From the Big Bend area of Texas along I-10 and I-20 to the north, and then in through Dallas under the threat of heavy rain and severe weather today. Then as you move a little bit northward on Kansas' eastern border into Missouri, up into Iowa, Illinois, and then back over to eastern Nebraska between I-80 and I-70, we'll see the most concentrated rainfall and potential for severe weather. So watch it if you're up and down northbound or southbound I-35 today. Between Kansas City and Des Moines, likely to see large hail and the potential for damaging winds, especially later in the afternoon. The I-95 corridor will remain largely dry today. We could see the late afternoon pop-up thunderstorm. Generally, the south, hot and humid, but dry. Atlanta should be just under 90 for the high. Your national weather forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
DPF is cleaned. Their DEF is in the SCR. Their ELDs are up to date, but their CDLs are expired. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. You know, I just want to address something that you said last hour that, you know, the media talking about the conspiracy theories.
Right.
You know, that that is being, that Republicans are throwing back when they talk about the dossier and you know, Russian collusion. As we've said, we go by the Democrats' definition of collusion.
Mm-hmm.
And by the Democrats' definition of collusion, they're the ones that colluded with the Russians.
Right.
The crimes, whatever. But somebody hit me on that the other day. I forgot about it. This was last week when we were talking about Mueller and what his possible motivations would be for so obviously being a political hack. And that's the question there, that he was obviously it wasn't subtle. It might be subtle to the average person who knows nothing about the law and how the law works, but if you even have a basic knowledge of law, you know what he did when he gave that statement last week. You knew that was political hackery.
Yes.
You knew it. And you and I accused him of it after the Mueller report when he clearly, because we said, look, if you're an investigator, for looking at it from an investigative mind, and that's how we've tried to look at all this, take the politics out of it, look for the evidence. And so, if we were a Democrat, we'd be upset that Mueller didn't go down the FISA route, because mm-hmm. the Democrats still believe, many Democrats believe, that Trump still colluded with the Russians. Well, then why aren't you furious at Mueller for not going to right to the where the best evidence apparently was of Trump colluding, which was the application for the FISA warrant?
Right.
Why didn't he go down that route? Well, we've asked that question, why he didn't go down that route. And this is where it was called, you guys are promoting conspiracy theories. Said, no, we're asking a question of dots that haven't been fully connected yet, but all may play a role because they all relate to somehow to FISA abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we're looking, what are the possible reasons that Mueller was such an obvious hack last week? You know, why did he take this on? Why was he a political hack last week, some of the things that he said. And why didn't he go down the FISA warrant route? Because that's where the best evidence would have been to convict Trump, right? If you believed that he could, if you were looking for evidence he committed collusion. And we said because it would have brought him right back to the Hillary campaign. He's look, he doesn't operate in a vacuum. He knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other reason we said was, and this dot has not yet been connected, but they're all things that are interrelated to FISA abuse. And that is the FISA court in April of 2016.
Well, we learned in April 2017.
2017 rebuked the Obama administration and the FBI and the Department of Justice for violating the rights of American citizens in the FISA warrant process. Now, we know part of it was done in the intelligence agency, but we don't know what the entire thing is. We don't know because most of it was redacted.
Right.
So we don't know. But as we said, in the FISA warrant process, you have included in the FISA warrant process the intelligence agencies, the FBI, and the Department of Justice. They're the ones who do the FISA warrants.
Mm-hmm.
And as as we all know, what Comey said, FISA warrants are so rare that, we know what's going on when they're being issued. It's not like a regular warrant, you know, inside of some local federal, attorney, district attorney or federal attorney, where you might not know all the warrants they're getting for somebody who might have committed a federal crime in that particular district. This is a FISA warrant. Mm-hmm. Everybody at top knows what's going on when there's a FISA warrant.
Mm-hmm.
It's a FISA warrant for a campaign. Absolutely everybody knows about it because you'd want to make sure that you cover this with your superiors, correct?
Right.
And so we ask the question because it's a question that has to be asked when there's such obvious political hackery in what is supposed to be a legal report. And we said, is Mueller worried? Because the FISA warrant abuse goes back to 2011. 2011 to 2013, Mueller was FBI, head of the FBI. Now, again, we're not making any accusations. We're asking the questions as to how investigators would look at it. And we believe we're justified, especially with these people who have promoted a conspiracy theory and continue to do so, and I include Mueller in that with their Mueller report, for the last 2.5 years. But we're not promoting any type of conspiracy theory. We're asking the questions based on all things that are relevant to FISA abuse.
And things that are known.
That are known, yes.
In April of 2017, that report from Sarah A. Carter, John Solomon at Circa, when they were both at Circa, demonstrated the court documents from October of 2016, where it was made. Because they revealed those documents as a part of the report that was made public, that the FISA court was rebuking the Obama administration Justice Department going back to 2011. Again, as you pointed out just a moment ago, we don't know why. We have no idea what they were talking about.
We know part of it was intelligence, how they identified how they identify people, and that goes to the intelligence agencies.
And so that goes back to 2011, which connects directly to
we do know the intelligence agencies were involved in it. We don't know how much the FBI and the Department of Justice. We don't know what blame the FISA court put on them.
Right.
And we know they did go after, and some of what we do know that was unredacted, that they did go after the intelligence agencies for not following the different FISA laws when it comes to identifying and going after, and finding out who people are.
Right.
By unmasking, using phone numbers, whatever, the unmasking process there. Now, we don't know what else they did. We don't know if it was the FISA application process was included in that.
Right.
But when you're talking about FISA abuse in one case, and then this person who is supposed to be looking at all Russian interference, which would lead you to the FISA abuse, when he doesn't go there, and then you know that he was the FBI director from 2011 to 2013 when the FISA court rebuke, which is part of the timeline of the FISA court rebuking the Obama administration, you have to ask the question, is there something there? If you're going to do it from an investigative mindset, we're not claiming any specific wrongdoing at all.
Right.
We're saying what could possibly motivate Mueller to give such an absolutely blatant partisan statement and report on Russian collusion. That's, we're asking what the possible motivation would be. Is it just hate?
It could be. Pure political motivation and the distrust and hatred of a person, that could be it. It could be that there was zero mishandling of justice when on the part of Mueller himself.
Yes.
When he was FBI director.
Or it doesn't.
Or it leads to something else. Because the question would be, was there a pattern of behavior here? 2011, that's just like this year, a year before a major presidential election. And so was that, I mean, we go back to the IRS, the whole thing, the Lois Lerner stuff and the Tea Party. What we said then was, look, because remember on that one it was, well, it started out as just two rogue agents in Cleveland or something. And we said, whoa. Okay. We, at that point, couldn't connect dots and say, well, this happened and that didn't happen, or this person knew and that person was directly involved. We couldn't say any of that. What we could say is, our question was the tone that was set.
The culture.
The culture that was defined in the administration. Because, sorry, but if you're going to organize and mobilize, those are the words they use. If you're going to organize and mobilize, that's not just about getting people to the polls on election day. That's about having a very deliberate set of actions as a part of said culture in the administration. Again, we can't condemn anyone legally, but the question, I think, is a valid question. In this case, we can say that we have documents that open the doors to many questions.
Well, there's nobody debating the FISA abuse report.
No.
On the Democrat or Republican side.
No.
We just don't know the specifics, but we do know the timeline is 2011 to 2016.
Right. And so, again, what we have to ask, and remember, during the whole thing, when we talked about the beginnings of the Russia investigation and all of that, there were a number of people saying, well, this could go back to 2015. Right. Some of this behavior could go back to 2015.
Yep.
Well, gee, just like 2015, just like 2019, just like 2011. You're talking about the year leading into a major presidential election. And that's significant, because if we're talking about the Justice Department being organized and mobilized in order to spy on the opposition, in order to know what they're doing, then what could we be looking at? Potentially, could we be looking at?
And
here's another thing that I need to throw in. And again, we have no idea, but on Election Day 2012, some of the tools that the Romney campaign was using failed them. Now, again, I have no idea. It could be, and there's nobody making the charge, no one on the right, no one with the Romney campaign, no one saying that they believe they were hacked or anything else. But there were a lot of things that didn't jive in the 2012 election season. It could be clearly that the polls weren't on target, that a number of things just happened naturally. This is why we go back and we stick with the known facts, because it leads to the questions. Look at it. If there's nothing there, then don't make something out of nothing, Mr. Barr, or anyone else. But if there is something there, then justice must be pursued.
You know, one thing I do want to bring up about Mueller is, we go to the timeline of the FISA abuse from 2011 to 2016. But remember, the deal was cut in 2011 because the FISA courts were concerned the Obama administration previous to 2011 was not following the rules and regulations. And so they wanted to make sure, and they clarified, and they made a deal with each other. Robert Mueller was also FBI director before that.
Right.
So, again, it may not have anything to do with the FBI, but when you see such an obvious political hack job that was done, that anybody, when we played Sidney Powell, the former who wrote the book on the the rot inside of the Justice Department, licensed to lie.
Right, right.
The former federal prosecutor who we played earlier, when it's so obvious to people like her, when it's obvious to just people who have an elementary knowledge of law, and you look at it and you say, wow, this is just political hackery. You have to ask yourself, why? Is it just hatred for Trump, or is there more? Is he trying to hide something? Is he worried about all of his friends? Is he worried about Comey? Is he worried about people that he worked with, Brennan and other people? Is there a concern because there were other things that were going on that we actually know were going on? We just don't know if he was involved in them or not, but he was in the highest levels of law enforcement, which is part of the FISA warrant process to begin with at that time. The question has to be asked, because if we're asking it, Barr is asking it.
Yep. And it must be pursued. Was this a pattern of behavior? Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was totally unrelated. But that question, I think you have to satisfy with a solid answer.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. We'll get to your calls and comments coming up following the top of the hour. Just a ton of different things on William Barr, Robert Mueller, and everything over the last couple of days we've been having some great discussion on. We have to look at the temperature map in some places of the Northeast tonight.
Kind of crazy, right?
Olean, New York, 35 degrees right now. Or excuse me, 37 degrees. Jamestown, New York, 39. Bradford, Pennsylvania, 35 degrees.
Wow.
It's June 4th.
Yeah, get over it. Come on.
They have a frost warning in all of those areas this morning.
Yeah.
For frost. June 4th.
It's nearly 3 a.m. in the central time zone here in the Metroplex DFW area, 74 degrees. And I see that as kind of cool. I mean, in temperature. It's the other night, it was 78 degrees when we got out of here at 5 a.m.
Yeah, I like the heat. I had the discussion with a bunch of New Yorkers this past weekend. They said, so do you hate the heat? I go, I love the heat. So what I find out is more native Texans seem to hate the heat than people who come down here.
Yeah.
Because you hate what you have to go through your whole life.
Right, what you've had to battle against. But I find myself actually more and more loving the heat because I like the longer days. Working this shift, you know, the more daylight, I like having the ability to go out and do things outside. But, you people up north, get it together. Come on, move into summer, would you?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.